Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to the latest episode. Lucy, how are you doing?
Surviving, trying to push through. I'm not feeling 100%, so my energy might be a bit, you know, I'm actually drinking vitamin energy. The difference, the last pod, I was drinking a margarita.
Our times have changed.
Yeah, vitamin energy. It's actually a Black-owned business.
It's called Feud.
They actually like created it because of like people who have sickle cell because they don't have enough energy and stuff.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah. So shout out to them. This is not advertised anything. So this is legit.
I like that.
Yeah, I literally bought like huge cartons. So guys, check them out. They're really, really good. Yeah, and it actually gives me like not crazy energy, but just like a little, but yeah.
Which is much like needed. Appreciate you for joining us because obviously I know you're not feeling 100% as well. So
yeah, boy.
The big effort.
But you know.
Definitely appreciate it.
What about you? How are you feeling, Eugene?
No, I'm good. I'm good. It's been a nice week. It's a rare occasion that I've had a weekend off. So I've just been chilling, which is nice.
No.
So yeah. Because I don't really get many weekends off with this new job. But it's all good. Like you said, we're pushing through. So yeah, we're all good. But yeah, let's get into it. I mean, where to start really?
So a lot has happened, actually.
I was going to say, maybe too much.
Too much.
which is a bit like crazy, but I guess that's just the way things are right now in tennis, both men's and women's tennis. But I think really the only place to start is on the women's side, Ash Barty announcing her retirement at 25 years of age, three-time Grand Slam winner, reigning Australian Open and Wimbledon champion. She announced the news. It was during Miami, which was obviously she wasn't playing in Miami. Just basically caught everybody like by surprise. Like it was a big kind of like shock, I guess.
Facts, yeah.
What do you remember, like, or what's your kind of take on her like announcing her retirement?
It's funny because you're the first person who said, like, because I woke up and I just saw notification, I just saw your message. And it was just like, listen, hey, don't joke about it, but Barty just retired. I was like, oh shit, I did not, you know, like I did not see it coming. But when I thought about it, I was like, you know what, I respect it. Like she did what she had to do. She won, you know, her slams. She's made shitloads of money. She made like history in her own hometown. She's good fucking vibes. You know, like she, to me, is that you tick, tick, tick? Is that all right, cool? And she just got engaged not too long ago. I think her fiance proposed to her like a couple of months ago as well. So it's like, all right,
yeah.
It is what it is. I'm done now. Like I respect it because it's like she could have been one of them people who forced it and then probably ended her career in a bad way. Like, do you get what I mean? Like not being number one, not winning any slam, not winning any titles or anything. Like she finished in a high.
Literally went out on top. Like, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, yeah. I can't hate it. It would have been nice to watch her like play more. Just like, I feel like it was a little bit, we're starting to get a little different competition in WTA. So it would have been very cool if she stayed a little bit longer. But at the end of the day, like we said in our last pod, listen, if players want to do whatever they want to do, it is what it is. But yeah, man, like she did her, I can't hate it. That's what I was like, you know what? When I saw it, I was like, you know what? I respect it. It is what it is. It would have been, as a fan of tennis, I would have loved for her to stay longer. But yeah, like shout out to Barty, man. She just minds her own and just do whatever she wants to do. And I respect that. Like, I like the good thing about this generation of players, even though she's not really old gen or new gen, to be fair. Just kind of in the middle, I would say. But what I like about the players today is that they're really much more in control of how they want to run their life and what they want to do, which is very different. And I think even us as tennis fans, we are not even realizing that difference. It's taking time for us to even take that in. But, you know, it is what it is. Shout out to the Aussie. All the best to her. I think she's even becoming like a children book author. Like she's already making moves like, offline, like, doing her own thing. But I'm looking forward to her explaining more, like, further why she's actually retiring. She did say she's going to release that full interview because she only released, like, a snippet of that interview.
Okay.
So I would like to hear more as to why she's really making that decision, especially at 25. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is, man. Can't judge it.
I think you make a good point as well, like, just about from a fan's perspective, like, basically not being able to see like the rivalry or potential rivalry, like grow, like it was looking like there was going to be one between her and like Osaka, for instance, or Świątek, I say Megarutha as well, like, you know, those other girls at the top. But yeah, I mean, like you said, fair play to her. Like, she's in control of like her own life. And yeah, she's literally made the decision to stop because, yeah, she feels like that's kind of, that's really that's it now, for her, like in tennis. And like,
yeah,
who's to say she might come back like a few years from now, like,
which is what she's done before. This is not her first time.
Exactly. So I think, like you said, she probably just wants to like go and like spend some time with her family, her new partner, her husband, maybe start a family as well. Yeah, like you said, good luck. And she's nothing but good vibes. So we wish her all the best. Another piece of retirement news, although it's not exactly happened yet, but it's coming. Joe Wilfried Tsonga, the Frenchman, 36 years old, he announced that this year's French Open will be his last event, and he's going to call it quits. This will be his 15th appearance at Roland Garros, which is just mad.
Yeah.
I think he reached the semi-finals. I can't remember the year. But yeah, he got
2008, 2009.
Yeah, I think it was like around 2008-09, because that was like when he was really well at the top. His career high was
five.
Yeah, so because I remember when that news broke, or when he announced it on, I think it was YouTube, he put out like a video with his wife and I think a French journalist, or I don't know who.
I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah, but I'm saying the video was like a video announcement.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he put that on YouTube. But yeah, when I remember when I saw it, I was like, wow, like it kind of had me my feelings for a bit, because I was like, I really took him for granted in terms of like just how talented he is or was in, you know, in his prime. Although he was really unlucky with like a lot of injuries, which is kind of what he explained as well, like in terms of
he basically just said that he was just tired of what's the fucking point, like what am I doing this to myself. But now you're right about the whole taking advantage thing. I was looking at some of like some snippets which I posted on the BSG IG story, and I was like, bro, this guy's wrist is fucking insane. Like when I was watching it, I was like, bro, I really took this guy for, like, literally I felt the same. I was like, damn, like Tsonga was actually that fucking guy.
I think he won 18 titles in total. Like, I think three of them were Masters events, so Masters 1000s. He's beaten Federer, Nadal and Djokovic like a number of times. Like, not many players like have kind of like his record.
Yeah. And I think because of those recent injuries, a lot of people kind of forgot like who the fuck he is, which always happens in sports anyways. Like, a player gets injured and we literally forget, even if it's like recent, like I literally forget Team is a US Open champion. Where has he been? Because it's been injured. You get what I mean? It's those type of thing. And our sport, there's too much going on every day. You kind of forget what's even going on. And then boom, one player comes. Oh yeah, I'm retiring. Like, you know, when Del Potro like literally retired as well, I was sad as hell. And I was like, I'm not going to lie, I haven't really been watching his matches. And now I'm like, shit, why did I not do that? Now he's gone. He's living his best, you know, like influencer life. This guy is busy going to every event. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I respect it. Still get that money. But no, yeah, man.
So no, we look forward to watching Tsonga. Obviously he's playing Monte Carlo, and then yeah, he'll play he'll probably play Madrid as well, and then obviously the French will be his last hurrah. It'd be so good if you can get to like the second week. Like, I'm not gonna, obviously your fairy tale be to win it, but let's be realistic.
Players are so ruthless when someone's retiring. I'm like, raw, like, can't you just allow me to play? Like, when
You can't blame them though, man. It's not a chance.
No, it's true, like, but still, it's like, come on, man, be a little bit nice. Like, when that Spanish player that retired, I just cancelled caught.
Oh, Suarez Navarro, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When she was, fam, every first round, everyone was beating her ass. And I'm like, damn. She just recovered from cancer. Like, allow it a little bit. She's about to retire. Like, bro, you're gonna play like next week. Like, stop it. Like,
didn't Sloane beat her at Roland Garros? I think that was her last match. Yeah.
Yeah, Sloane did. Except Sloane, except the black players. Yeah, I'm just saying.
But there was I like the embrace actually. Sloane, there was a nice embrace. Like,
yeah, I feel like out of everyone, she definitely did. I felt like anyways, WTA didn't do a good job to do like a farewell to her. Even though like a lot of the players who retired recently, so I really hope that when he does his last match, especially at a French Open, being a French guy, I really hope that people go crazy. Already the French crowd is 10 out of 10. I personally really like their rowdiness and their craziness. I like that energy. So I really hope that they bring that on his first match, second match, whatever match, all the matches that he's on, the moment that he's there, just like a nice farewell. It's going to make me emotional. I know.
I think a lot of people will be, to be fair. It'd be nice as well if he gets to play on like Philippe Chatrier as in the main court. Obviously, the draw has not been made yet, but I think that would be a nice send off for him. Like, and he deserves that, even though, he hasn't won a Grand Slam, but
he's
arguably been like, not even arguably, I think he's been the most successful like male French tennis player since Yannick Noah. Like when you like look at that and some of the guys like Gael Monfils, Richard Gasquet, like,
I mean, we just saw Felix just praising him when they just played against each other, and I'm so proud that Felix actually got the chance to actually play against him and stuff. Cool.
Earlier this year, exactly. So you know, good luck to Joe Wilfred, and we do look forward to seeing him at Roland Garros. Now on to Serena Williams. I mean, where to start with this, Lucy? Like, should we go Patrick first? Because I think let's go chronologically. So Patrick Mouratoglou announced the like shocking news. Like, and I'm not saying shocking as in like disappointing, just shocking as in it was a shock. Shocking news that he is now working with Simona Halep on a short-term basis, which I think is a key term in that post that statement that he released on his Instagram or socials. And that led everybody to believe, wow, like Serena's retiring, that's it, she's finished. Like, obviously, Twitter was like an absolute mess, like immediately after.
Everyone was just, what's I been doing? I think I was just working. I just put on my friend, I just saw someone to say, this might be Serena retiring. And I was like, whoa, and I started searching.
I love the tweet you said about, Eugene needs to wake up right now.
That's the thing, because I messaged you. I was like, Eugene Allen. I think that's the first time I said your full name as well. I was like, Eugene Allen, wake up. What the fuck does short term mean? What does that mean? That's what I want to know. Patrick and Serena and everyone else involved, what the fuck does short term mean? Matter of fact, that's going to be the name of this episode. What does short term mean? Like, honestly, what does it mean?
But that was wild because obviously that was on a Thursday, I want to say, like Thursday afternoon / Thursday afternoon. And then later on that day, Serena was at a Bitcoin like conference or some kind of talk.
Bitcoin Cash App, that's it,
And she was there with Aaron Rodgers and Odell Beckham. She was backstage. She was with Aaron Rodgers. She records like a video to her IG story where she basically, everyone's seen it now. Oh, we've just been talking about my comeback at Wimbledon, or getting ready for Wimbledon. And that was like, oh wow, like so she's coming back this year at Wimbledon. Like, we're gonna see Serena again at Wimbledon. And obviously
she knew what she was doing.
Exactly, it all kind of like, linked. For me anyway.
You cannot trick me.
It linked back to Patrick. What was your immediate thoughts like after seeing Serena release that video?
Listen, I'm so sorry. I love my queen, but I'm not believing anything till Wimbledon start, because the thing is, Serena knows, she knows her stands, she knows our fans, like we're all crazy. She definitely saw the tweets that everyone like going crazy, so she needed to release or say something for people to calm down. So I was expecting her to say something. I thought it would be more of a statement, to be honest, like a hi guys, Patrick, da da da. So the way that she did it was different from what I expected. So which I don't know how, I don't know, but But that means, because she did say initially she's going to come back for French Open, right? Didn't she?
I don't know. That's the thing. And
I think she did.
I don't think she
but
will.
To be honest, I don't mind her skipping French Open personally. That's me.
Yeah.
The only issue with Wimbledon though is that you know how grass season is. It's basically 2 hours. Like there's literally like barely any matches and stuff. So in my ideal world, I'd love to her to play some of the smaller tournaments, you know, naturally like the one in Nottingham and all them lots and whatnot before Wimbledon, and then get started.
She'll definitely play a warm-up event somewhere. She has to, because she's not playing.
But she barely does for grass season.
Lucy, she's not played a tournament all year.
I know, but I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree with you. I definitely feel like she should. But we're talking about Serena Williams right here. Do you get what I mean? Like, she doesn't play as many matches. Like, Venus has more chances of her playing there than literally Serena. So, I don't know. But I still want to know what the fuck short term means. Okay.
Yeah,
Number two, what do you think of Patrick? I want to get your finger on this, but what do you think of Patrick working with Halep? Because I personally thought he would work with a younger player, because he's always with the young people. He's always like, you literally see Patrick all the time with like the young stars and stuff. So I was extremely surprised. And to be fair, I kind of felt like he went for an op, because Halep took a Wimbledon title away from my soul. For me. Anyways, I'm so sorry, Halep. Like, I like you and all that, but I'm never forgiving you for 2019. So just deal with that. Like, from me, anyway. Not from Blasphemy Club, but from me, Lucy Khadija Tizangi, I have a hard time forgiving you for that. So, Patrick, you're kind of like, I see you, but I don't see you. Like, I see you, but I don't see you. But what do you think? Like, what did you think of him?
It's weird, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, it's not, because like you said, Halep is a rival. Like, it's a bit crazy. But at the same time, like, Patrick has a job, like, he needs to work. Like, obviously he's got his academies, like, all over the world. He's got one in Nice and I think Dubai now, and I think even in America, I think. But the guy needs to work. He's literally been out.
Money if you make.
Facts, like you said on the IG story. Like, so you can't really begrudge him, like, for that.
Oh, yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I do hear you, like, because obviously he does kind of do a lot of work with a lot of, like, the up-and-coming juniors or, like, yeah, prospects. So it did kind of, it was a surprise, the fact that he has gone with, like you said, like an established, like, champion, because that is what Halep is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, like, can you blame her for, like, asking him to coach her? Like,
That's true, because she's basically, by reading the thing, she's the one who basically
approached him, and then he has,
you know what, shout out to her for shooting a shot, because I'm pretty sure there's some players who read that statement thinking, wait, so what, he was available?
It
makes me think, how many players have actually reached out to Patrick?
And he said he had to speak to Serena first, which, like, again, that's giving Serena, like, Serena basically gave that situation the green light. So it's like, as much as she's not playing, like, she still holds a lot of power or, like, weight in that whole situation. But I just hope, I can't see her playing the French Open, because I just think time isn't, there's just not enough time, and she's not.
She's not, like, playing. I think if she would have said something by now, exactly. But she's definitely playing.
I think French Wimbledon, Open. Like you said, even Wimbledon for me, that's not a given. Like, yeah, she said, she's preparing or, like, getting hyped for Wimbledon.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
I think that's the first time Serena said, I'm going to a tournament. Like, everyone on Twitter was just like, everyone was not, like, I didn't see the normal hype that I would normally see. I think most people were just, I think when people saw that statement, they just automatically jumped into, like, Serena's gone. Because I was freaking out. I was like, what are you trying to tell us here, Serena? Mm. Like, are you leaving? Are you done? Like, are you
finished? Or done?
Yeah, like, what is going on? And then she took that. She even did two posts. She did that IG story, and then she did a TikTok video. It was like a meme. Like, she was running, like, even in heels, and she was like, me running to getting ready for Wimbledon, or me running to Wimbledon,
or something like that.
And I was just like, boy, like, whatever, man.
Was that on,
like,
the same day as in the TikTok thing? Or was that later on?
I think even like a day after, or the same day, something like that.
Listen, so, maybe she does actually plan to come back then.
I think she does plan to go, but I just want to know what her plan is, because if you're just getting up since whatnot to go and play Wimbledon. My heart's going to be shattered because I'm like, bro, I'm so sorry. There's no way. You already have to deal with the pressure of these players playing their best tennis against you till this day. And they've been playing since God knows when. Do you get what I mean? Like, some of these players have been active like crazy. They've been playing like, it's like they had no break. Everyone's just been playing like crazy. So, whereas you have her, understandably, you know, a mom, businesswoman, and injury as well. I think we forget that most important bit. I get it. But as a fan, I'm just like, please, just do the right stuff and just, you know, and just come. But I definitely get with Patrick. And with Patrick, like, I don't think it's even just the money, to be honest, because Patrick's been loaded all his life.
Oh, it's definitely not the money. Definitely.
It's
not.
Just like, I mean, like, Jermaine told us in an interview, like, this guy literally
lives and breathes.
Loves, loves tennis. So definitely get it. But there's one tweet I definitely do want to read because, like, which goes back to the whole, like, him working with Halep and stuff. But someone called, his at is Make It Wayne 15. Shout out to him. He said, I'm actually surprised that he didn't go with the younger players. And he basically explained that, I don't think he's great. He's a great building coach. Like, all the young players he has glaring holes in their games. Steph with the backhand, Coco with the forehand, and so on. I think he's probably a great finisher and is good for helping already solid players elevate. Could be wrong. Which is actually a good point.
Good point, definitely. Yeah.
Because he started working with Serena when she had, like, what? Already, like, 12 slams I think 10 slams already, and you know, look, so which could be true, but at least he's already keeping an eye on those things. And Patrick's not the only person. Jill has been, you know, she's been around with
she's been out here, yeah,
so getting that's on. The thing, so it's like, that's another reason why I'm freaking out as well. It's like, it's not even just her coach. Like, we barely used to see Jill with any other player. Do you get what I mean? Or maybe she was working with other players, but she kept it low key. But I'm out here watching a Robin match and she's in her box. Apparently she was part of the people that helped Tiafa get that IMG deal. So I'm just like, well, at least you're with the black players. So shout out to shout out to Jill. You know what I mean? Help us get them deals and get my black players paid. But
listen, it's going to be fascinating.
It's scary. It's scary. Yeah. I am not ready to let that woman go.
A lot can happen now in Wimbledon, and like, I think all we can do is just basically just
pray patient. And hope.
and that's pray as fans. But I mean, obviously,
so our Muslim fans, you know, your Ramadan is you know, just please put Serena in your prayer just a little bit.
And I think quickly we should also mention Venus as well, because she, I think she was on her IG, like, doing like a Q&A with like fans. I think, no, it wasn't her IG. I think it was her brand.
Yeah, she does it quite like basically a weekly basis.
Yeah. And someone asked her, like, oh, are we going to see you at Wimbledon this year? And she was like, oh, you know, I'd never like to miss Wimbledon. So again, people took that to say she's also preparing to come back at Wimbledon this year too. So obviously it'd be great to see both of them. Like, and I hope we do, basically. So
100%. I feel like her and Serena just kind of have the same schedule.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Especially as of recently, like, at least back in the days before, like, there's times where you see Venus play, you might not see Serena, and vice versa. But I feel like the last at least three, four years, I will say, I feel like the schedule has been extremely, like, similar. It's been very rare seeing one of them in one tournament and the other one but I won't be surprised if Venus would still go. I generally think she has not been playing because her sister has not been playing personally. And she's been busy with the King Richard stuff, and I feel like,
which we're gonna get onto now. King Richard, obviously, I don't want to say swept up at the Oscars because it didn't, but Will Smith won the best actor.
Well deserved.
Wrong, and exactly, rightly so. I said I don't want to talk about slap because I just don't think it's been done enough. Like,
no, I mean, I definitely feel you.
I mean, unless you want to say anything about it, like,
no, I definitely feel you, because it's been like the same conversation since. All I'm gonna say is I'm not surprised with
to be fair, what has kind of broke since all of that, or the fallout after that anyway, is Will Smith being banned from the Oscars for 10 years, which is, I just find ridiculous. But
yeah, again, but it's funny. He's being banned to not attend the event. So he can still be nominated and stuff.
But then essentially, surely that means like he's basically been blackballed in Hollywood. Like,
oh yeah, he 100% is. But like, this goes back to what I was saying. Like, all of this outcome is not surprising me. Like, listen, niggas, we never will have the same rules, the same outcomes as these white people. These white people can smoke crack on live television. They can commit the craziest crimes. I mean, look at these Hollywood actors. They're doing the craziest thing. I don't want to say in words in terms of trigger warnings, but we're never going to be the same as them. Like, it is what it is. So sometimes when you do something, double think it, because the outcome for a white guy and a black person and a black man, especially when it comes to those type of things, ain't the same. But he won his Oscars. He had a great career. You know, like, Will Smith is an accomplished person in Hollywood. So at least we've been able to give him his flowers. It's unfortunate that this has to be like overshadowed with the fact that he finally won his Oscar for a movie that he played so well in. That's a bit that really frustrates me as well.
Exactly.
Like, we haven't had a black man win an Oscar in such a long time, and this has happened. But
for me, the biggest thing, more than anything, like you said, it takes away from how good the film was. Like,
or that's the thing as well. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of people might go back and watch it and stuff, but now I'm wondering, has people actually gone back to watch it or not? But if you haven't, well, I shouldn't be saying that on Blackspin Global. There's no way you're a Blackspin Global fan.
Yeah, of course you've seen it.
Although
I was watching The Breakfast Club a few weeks ago, and Anjanou Ellis, who plays Orisin,
I was going to watch her interview.
Yeah, really good. You should definitely watch it. But she's not watched the film. She said she hasn't watched the film yet, but she's scared to watch it. She said, because like, she doesn't want to like critique herself. Like, she's her biggest critic. She said, and she was like, she doesn't want to like see any kind of like faults or yeah. And I found that fascinating because she was amazing.
That is very interesting. That's what I was about to say. She was.
And she was even nominated for best supporting actress. So
she was.
Yeah, that's I just found that quite amazing or incredible.
That is interesting.
But I think before we move on as well, I think it's important to mention Beyonce and her opening the whole show.
First of all, Eugene, I'm proud of you. You're growing into a beehive. I'm so proud that you're the first one to actually mention Beyonce before me. Well done.
Allow me.
I've watched that performance like probably like 10 times. I'm not even joking. Like, it already has like what, 8 million views or something like that, or 6.8, something like that. But It was such a beautiful performance.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Like, the sounds, the image, like, it just everything. Like, it's just, I just find it crazy how she just keeps on evolving. Like, I'm just like, I don't get it. It's not fair. But I'm sad. I knew Betty Eilish was going to win that award. Like, it was the moment I saw her and I saw what movie was for the James Bond, I was like, yeah. But
that wasn't a bit surprised. That surprised me. I'm not gonna lie. I did think Beyonce. No. I did think
there was. Oh, no. Because it's not the first time Beyonce has literally. Like, the Oscars are just, you know, that's why it's sad of me wish she didn't perform, because it's like, you need her. Do you get what I mean? Like, you guys need her. Like, and it was the stats. Literally, we saw stats where at the beginning, there was crazy views. And then as soon as she finished performing, went back down. Then it went back a little bit up after the whole Will Smith thing.
Okay.
So if that Will Smith didn't even happen, literally it'll just keep on going down. That's how much power she holds. So shout out to her. And that's what I love about the song. It was for us, by us. Even the performance was full on black people. Like,
in
Compton.
Yeah.
You know, I really appreciate the fact that she reached out to them and said, let me do this for you guys. We could have had anyone else, but I'm just really, really glad that, you know, she kept it. For us niggas, that's it. For us, by us, nigga. So shout out to Beyonce, the greatest of all time, for a movie that where we are celebrating the greatest of all times as well. Shout out 100%. To Mr. Richard. Shout out to everyone, man, on that movie. That's 100% one of the best movies I've watched. Like, Will Smith did a great job. Everyone did a great job. But yeah.
No, definitely. Well said. Legendary all round. I think, yeah, now we should move on to Miami and just like basically reviewing what went down there. So good to see Naomi Osaka reach the final. But I think before we get into Osaka, let's just start off in the earlier round. So Heather Watson, I think she deserves a shout out beating Elena Svitolina en route to the third round. And that was her first top 20 win in 2 years for Watson. So, and she's not had the best like kind of year slash maybe 18 months to be fair.
Yeah.
So that was a nice moment for her. She reached the third round. In the end, she lost to Belinda Bencic in the third round. Also want to shout out Coco Gauff as well, because she reached the round of 16. She fell to the eventual champion, Iga Swiatek, who we'll talk about a bit later on as well. But I just thought, again, just really good to see Coco. Like, she was seeded, I think she was seeded 18. No, she was seeded anyway. And this is a WTA 1000, and she's 18 years old. Like, just the continued elevation of her game is just incredible to see. And yeah, she also reached the double semi-final with Katie McNally, and they lost out to the top seeds, Veronika Kudermetova and Elise Mertens. But yeah, Osaka, so good. Like, I think everyone kind of, she was on everyone's like basically list to win the thing, like after her first two matches, I want to say, just because like the level was pretty much like back. I think it's fair to say. But yeah, what did you make of her kind of route to the final?
I was super excited. I just wish people kept the same energy. There was a lot of talking during Indian Wells about, now that she actually, like, you guys asked her to be a fan and, you know, to enjoy the sport. She does, and she wins. And you guys are not making that much noise. You were making hella noise in our comments, in our mentions, and everywhere around the world. Talking about she should return. Nah. Let's keep it to Virgil's chat. Like, honestly, like, they were here fighting this woman, saying that she does not love tennis, she can't do this, she can't do that. Literally, right, the tournament, right after that, she shut everyone up, which I love. Because she could have been like me. Because if I was her, I said it before, I'd be bad vibes and cuss everyone out. But she didn't. She came and she literally played one of her best matches and she killed it. She made it all the way to the finals. Her beating Bencic, let me tell you.
That was the highlight. That was the highlight of the whole.
Let me tell you something.
I'm not
that day, yeah.
Okay, go on.
That day, top five moments of the year for me. Because honestly speaking, I don't want to, you know what? I'm going to keep it positive. But honestly, that match, I felt like, even like Bencic, she was really trying to like push her. I actually even thought
she won the first set. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought when that happened, I was like, nah, you can't do this to me again. Naomi, like, wake the fuck up. But she pushed through. She honestly pushed through. Even the handshake at the end, she was good vibes. Again, for Smil, I probably slapped her. But you know, because you can't do all that talking. And you know, she was chatting. I think she chatted shit about Naomi for like 2-3 times. And we had to let it go. I had to let it go. But Naomi knew she couldn't do that to me and all of her fans again. Like, that woman just had to lose, honestly.
So good to see.
I feel like it was a very challenging match before the final, which was good. And I felt like that's why I felt confident about her winning the whole thing. Like, before that, I was like, yeah, she could win it and stuff, da da da. But after she beat, like, Bencic, I was like, okay, yeah, this is it. I agree. Because, you know, Belinda as well, she's been kind of on it. I feel like her winning that Olympic gold thing was kind of gave her a boost, because I feel like since then she's kind of been on job, to be honest, as much as I don't really like her. But I will be, you know, a good critic and be honest that, you know, she's definitely stepped up her game. So I was definitely nervous for Osaka at the semifinals, but I'm really glad that, you know, she pushed through to the finals. And like, to me, her making the final was more than enough. Like, I would love her to win, but for her to make it to the finals was just everything. She was in good vibes. Like, oh, I just love her. I just wanted to like hug her. Like, honestly, she's just great.
What did you make of the final against Iga Swiatek? As in, now we should say as well, the new world number one, and clearly rightly so.
No, I'm not gonna lie. he was playing like a fucking beast, mate. Like, she did not let, like, nah, I can't even hate. Like, I was just like, you know what? I put my hands up. Like, she was on job. She was really, really on job. She played really well. She was extremely focused. She gave her 10 out of 10. Like, we have to be honest, she definitely played much better than Osaka. I think Osaka was probably a bit nervous as well, but I don't even want to downplay that because I don't want it to make it seem like I'm finding excuses, because really did play a very good match. Like, she was on what she had a solution for anything that Osaka threw at her. She knew what to do next, like every single thing. But it's very, I had no idea, like, during the match, like, they were saying how Iga has like some personal coach, some mind coach or something.
Yeah. Like, she's been had that. I think she had that at the French, or after the French Open, that she won.
Do you know what? That is such a fantastic thing. When I heard that, I was like, I rate that a lot. Mm. And the fact that she, I didn't even know it was, because I couldn't tell when she had that, because I had no idea. But her having that right after the French Open is probably one of the best ideas that she probably ever did. Mm. Because it is a lot. How many players after they win that first slam, it's like, especially from the new gen, like, let's be honest, compared to the old gen, like, I don't know if the pressure is different or I don't know what it is, but hearing that, I think we kind of forget how much your mental strength goes into anything that you do in life. But in tennis, it's different because you're alone when you're on that court. Mm-hmm. So I feel like your mental strength had to be like even on 1,000. So for her to have that, that's incredible. So shout out to Iga. They gave us a good match, but you know, she killed it. And I'm looking forward to the rival between them two, because Osaka definitely looked at her like, I let you for this one. that next match, yeah. It's not gonna be nice. It's not gonna be nice. I could feel it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to them playing against each other.
I completely agree. I think everything you said is spot on. Like, I thought after the Bencic match, I was like, yeah, Saka's going to win this whole thing. Like, it's going to be a nice, maybe a free setter against Świątek. But I think for me, like, the lack of big match practice that Saka, the lack of big matches that Saka hasn't played, basically played a part in that final. So pressure, like you said, is different in a final as opposed to like earlier rounds. And also, yeah, she's playing the world number one. Like, they're friends too. Like, there's a lot kind of going.
So, I think that was her first even big top 10 or top 20 match in like a very long time as well.
For Osaka,
yeah.
Probably would have been, yeah, exactly.
I remember that's what they were saying as well, yeah.
So like all of that, when you factor all of that in, like, it kind of does make sense. The I don't want to say low, but like the drop off in level, like, just because the pressure of the whole situation. But again, like you said, I think now that's over, and like she's spoken after or since anyway, she's hungry for more now. Like, she's eager to kind of get back to kind of where she belongs, and that is the top. And she even said, I think it was after the final, a journey that starts, and like, oh, like, so where do you plan to like go in terms of like what level do you want to reach now that you've kind of been, you played Miami, you've reached the final? And she's like, I want to get back to the top. And so she was like, number one. And then she's like, hang on a minute, that's way too much pressure. And then she kind of like paused for a bit. She goes, you know what, yeah, I want to get back to number one. And I was like, this girl, Jesus, class. And she can do it. Like,
she can, 100%.
We all know like the game she has. And just to clarify as well, because the last episode I said, like, she's literally the best. I still think she's the best woman tennis player. But I do want to differentiate. Like, we do know she needs to work on her grass court game and her clay court game. But on the hard courts, like, for me, even after Miami and her losing to Świątek, I still believe Osaka is a better tennis player. Like, that's just my opinion. But yeah, I just think it's just good to see her back, and like, she's happy.
Exactly.
She's playing Stuttgart, which I'm looking forward to seeing her on the clay. She's done relatively well in Stuttgart. I think she reached the quarterfinals the last time she played Stuttgart. Mm-hmm. So it's just going to be good to see her like back on the tour, basically.
Yeah. I was just glad that she got back so quickly and so early. because
after Indian Wells, exactly.
And the way everyone was just chatting, so that's why I'm like, you know what, all of you that spend hours chatting shit about her should go back to spending hours celebrating the fact that she won. I don't give a fuck, like, honestly speaking, like, it was just ridiculous. So shout out to her for actually not spending too much time on dwelling on what happened in Indian Wells and was just trying, even when people kept asking her about it, she always answered to like the positive, but I think she expected it.
Yeah.
And I feel like from the chaos that happened last year, I think she kind of learned from, like, you know, what to do and what to say. I mean, she even shared that now she even sees a therapist, which I actually thought she was doing before.
Yeah.
After French Open, I assumed, I made the assumption that she would do that. But maybe she did. She didn't want to share. Maybe now she's sharing the fact that, okay, yeah, I'm seeing a therapist and she's been helping me with this, this, and that. So shout out to that. I've always been pro therapy if you can afford it, because we all know it's not something that's free or cheap. Mm. But yeah, so I'm really happy for her. Looking forward to clay season. I just like watching her play, because the more she plays, the more easier it will be for her to get to that top that she wants to reach. So. I just hope she's playing a lot more than before. I think right now she's kind of in a vacation-ish. But we're soon going to be seeing her and I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks. Just before we move on, I think the men, we should give them a quick shout-out. So Felix, he lost in the second round. He got a bye and lost to Van der Schonschup, the Dutch guy. Yeah. And that was a free set match. Very frustrating to watch that one, actually. But yeah, Felix is now obviously playing on the clay, which we'll talk about in a bit. Gael Monfils, he reached the third round, so he lost in straight sets to Francesco Ciondolo. I liked his tweet after that match. He was like, I played really bad and like really just sorry to the fans basically for my performance. But he was like, again, but also like credit to my opponent for kicking my ass. He actually said that in English, which I thought was quite funny. Mm. And like, yeah, Francis Tiafoe, seeded 28th. He reached the round of 16. Played a really good match against Brandon Nakashima in the second round. That was a free setter. Nakashima always plays well against Tiafoe. But yeah, it's a really nice match between them. And yeah, Francis came through that. And then he beat Chirundulo. Juan Manuel, Chirundulo, the younger brother of Francesco, in the third round, and then lost to Francesco in the round of 16, and yeah, that was the end of Francis in Miami. And I also want to shout out the Miami Open champion on the men's side, Carlos Alcaraz, 18 years old now, mm-hmm. now top 10, like. The guy is he's a joke, basically.
Yeah, he's dope.
Yeah.
Good vibes as well. Like, I feel like he's definitely going to be like one of the definitely faces of, you know, the next gen. Everyone's been focused on the same players, but I feel like Alcaraz is like going up. Really, really looking forward to him. Playing.
It's very, very likable as well, which I think is.
He is, and I think that's why he has a lot of support and everything. And he just seems just focused, like his good vibes, focused, and he actually plays really fucking well as well. Yeah. Like he's a great player.
Did you see like the clips of because Juan Carlos Ferrero? I've actually got a picture of Juan Carlos Ferrero back in my younger days. Just a quick shout out, but yes. There was a nice clip of Juan Carlos because he wasn't at the tournament in Miami until the final because his dad passed, but he made sure he made the trip for the final, obviously.
Oh, so that's why everyone was making, because I was like, why is everyone making it such a big deal? Like, I didn't really put the tournament, because I think I was getting ready as I was watching the match. I was going out, so I was watching the match as I was getting ready, and
just really emotional.
Yeah, everyone was just, like, I was just like, what's going on here? I was like, okay, maybe I'll figure out later on.
But no, I think, like you said, Alcaraz is going to be a player that we're going to see a lot of, and that is definitely like future, like top five. I don't want to say world number one because I think that's just like
the crazy pressure.
But yeah, he's going to be in the top 10 for a long time. We look forward to seeing him play a lot more. Just other bits before we move on. So wild cards, Robin Montgomery and Hayley Baptiste, they both went the distance in their first round matches. We did say that Mouratoglou was sitting in Montgomery's camp for her match, which is quite interesting to see. So yeah, both of them playing pretty good tennis, I want to say. It's only going to be a matter of time until they kind of, like, for Baptiste anyway, because she's 20 and, like, she's basically been playing more at this level, but I think it's only a matter of time until, yeah, she goes on a run at, like, one of these, like, WTA 250s or 500s to really, like, get that ranking up in the top 100, which is where it belongs. And yeah, before we move on, shout out to Paul Jobb. So he won his first challenger event in Bolivia, Santa Cruz, Bolivia. He beat the world number 119, Juan Pablo Verbalas, 6-3, 7-6 in the final. And yeah, he was 1-4 down in the second set. So to come back and basically, yeah, take the second set and take the match ultimately in his first Challenger Tour final, pretty good look for Paul Jobb. So yeah, shouts out to him. And yeah, before we kind of finish up, just a roundup of Charleston. Did you watch much of Charleston this week?
A little bit, not as much. I watched, who was playing against that French woman, Cornes or Cornet, whatever her name is again. Is it not Parks?
Oh, of course it was Parks.
So Parks's match, I did watch it. That one was like, it was a good match. It was unfortunate, but it was a good match. It was very close on the second set.
Yeah, it was 7-5. She lost in the end.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she was very close. Like, she just needed to close her game, and that was it when she was on, like, the fifth thing. But that was a good one as well. Very pretty girl, by the way, as well. I watched a few. Not all, but a few, yeah.
It was slightly disappointing, like, from a batsman global perspective. Like, so lost in the second
this
match.
This whole week was like, a bit mad. Bro, like,
although TFO kind of saved it in Houston, which we'll come on to a bit later. But yeah, Charleston, just quickly, like you said, so we had Parks, Robinson and Vickery. Like, we don't really see them often, like, at this level, so it was good to see them both, all three of those, actually play in Charleston. But I wanted to shout out Baptiste, actually, because she did get a big win. So she beat Alina Gabriela Rus, who's the world number 55, 6-3, 6-love in the first round, which, again, that's huge. Like, that's a big win for Baptiste. And it, again, just shows you the kind of level she's at and the continued kind of growth that, you know, she's kind of, yeah, just she keeps elevating this year, and we just hope that continues. And yeah, Paolini and Madison Keys, they also won their, I think Paolini won her first round match, lost in the second round. Keys got a bye into the second round, lost in the third. So yeah, a bit of a slow week in Charleston. Obviously Keys being a former champion, and Sloan, 2016, Keys, 2019. So yeah, Charleston wasn't really it for us. I think the final is Bencic and Gibor.
Yeah, they were playing literally when we started recording. Let's see.
Yeah, I think it's a set all.
Oh, they're still playing.
Yeah.
Third set, Bencic won the first set, Gibor second. We'll see who wins after that.
Interesting. So,
don't care, but whatever. I'm
joking. I'll say go Jabir. Jabir, the African. Marrakesh.
Wait. Don't try and claim because she's a figgy.
I mean, she's African, bro. Like,
I'm dead. No, it's a way you just dropped it just like that. You're like, yeah, the African. Like, you're trying to say what the African blood is what put her through the final, yeah?
I mean, listen. Marrakesh, staying in Africa, the one and only ATP Tour level event in Africa took place in Marrakesh, and Felix Auger-Aliassime was the top seed. But yeah, he lost in the second round in three sets to Alex Molkan, who eventually went on to reach the final, but he lost to David Goffin. And yeah, I even said to you, like, after Felix lost that match, like, I was, like,
yeah, you were upset.
I took it to heart because, yeah, I just had high hopes. The tournament being in Africa, like, Felix being the top seed, the field wasn't the strongest, So I just thought, yeah, he could probably bag this. So to lose to Malkin in the second round, it was disappointing. And I'm sure he, or I'm sure Felix was disappointed as well. But
what are you looking, because I want to get your point. Like, how do you think he's going to do clay season? Because
it's last year
he didn't do, that great.
It's a tricky one. Like, so he's never really done well at the French. I want to say has he won a round? I think he's got to the second. I think his best results will be the second round, you know, at the French Open.
Let me check.
Kind of, so he does struggle.
But as you, I'll check as you explain yourself.
But yeah, I mean, Monte Carlo, which we'll come on to, he's the sixth seed. So I think he'll play Massetti or Pear in the second round because he gets a bye into the second round. Both winnable matches, but he's lost to Massetti. I mean, he lost to Massetti last year in Barcelona, I want to say. And he's also lost to Pear too, but that was, I think, 2019. But yeah, these are players he should be beating both of them, really and truly. But I mean, it's a tricky one, Lucy. Like, I Felix has, I mean, we're big fans of his, obviously. Like, he's got the game to kind of do damage on all surfaces.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, literally, his first French Open was 2020, out the first round. He was out the first round last year as well.
Yeah, so yeah. So,
compared to all the other ones, US Open semi-finals, Wimbledon quarterfinals, Australia Open quarterfinals, but then French Open's been first round.
Yeah, that's so, the one that's crack, 100%. And hopefully it's this year. And like, this year arguably has been his breakthrough year in terms of winning.
the last 18 months, like, they've been great, to be honest.
Exactly. But I'm saying this year particularly, obviously winning his first ATP Tour tournament.
Maybe that's why he actually got a thingy that Nadal's uncle, is it, in his team?
Yeah, Tony.
I think he probably realised he needed to step up his game. And I think that's why there was a little bit more pressure last year. I felt like that's why he was flopping last year, because I felt like people just saw that.
The
players, like, even Tiafoe, remember, she even commented and be like, bro, you're about to kick our ass on French Open now. Like, on clay now.
Yeah.
So I think there was that, you know, people saw that. I was like, oh, shit, like, that's it. He's solid, because he was doing well in all the other surfaces but clay. So I'm hoping this time they're working a bit more closely together and trying to figure out where he's going wrong with clay. Or maybe clay is not his thing. Like, he's not the only player. Like,
Lucy, I don't know, man. I disagree with that.
Really?
I think he's got game for all surfaces. Yeah, I really do believe that. So I think it's only a matter of time. And I don't want to spend too much time, like, talking about Felix and, like, you know, like, it's a crisis, because it's not a crisis. I'm 21 years old. Like,
he's
improving, like, literally year on year. But yeah, I think this year, hopefully it's the one where it kind of clicks for him on clay. And hopefully that does start in Monte Carlo. But before we move on to, like, what's coming up, Tiafoe. So Francis Tiafoe, he reached the quarterfinals in Houston. Played some really, really nice stuff, like, I thought, on route to that quarterfinal. He lost to the annoying American.
Maga.
Exactly.
I'm not even saying his name.
Just hella irritating.
Even like, okay, I don't mind you losing, but losing to against her, my God, it's like, it's just disrespectful. Like,
it's just so irritating.
And he made it to the finals, but he didn't win. I think
the final is yet to be played as we record. So it's him and
Rudd. Oh, why did I think it was Rudd?
No, Rude. He pulled out.
Oh, he pulled out. I think it's against Opelka.
Yeah, on Rude though. So Michael Moe, your bae from the Australian Open last year.
Sexy guy. Respectfully, because he's in a relationship. Respectfully, but yeah.
Oh, that's a nice, good point. he took advantage of his lucky loser spot. So yeah, like, Rude pulling out allowed Moe to enter the draw, and he got a nice win over Sam Querrey.
But then he had to pull out as well, isn't
exactly
it?
Yeah, so he pulled out against, it was Nick Kyrgios he was due to play in the quarterfinal. But yeah, he pulled out, I think he had a groin injury. So shouts out, and hopefully, yeah, best of luck, like, give his recovery, and hopefully we see him again at some
very
point
soon.
Indeed. But yeah, before we wrap up, Monte Carlo, that's the event that we, well, but finally, actually, should say, I'm so happy. We're on European time now. No more US schedule. Right?
The only disadvantage is obviously is during what's it called? Is during
like working hours.
But still, yeah. It does not beat the fact that I have to watch a bloody match at midnight. It's time European. Let's go. Let's kick it.
So yeah, we're in Monte Carlo for the Monte Carlo Masters. Gael Monfils announced he's putting out, unfortunately, with a foot injury.
To be fair, I'm not gonna lie. When I saw his draw, I was pissed off. Like his first match was bloody thinky.
Hubert Hurkacz.
I was just like, what the fuck, man? I was like, okay. That's it. I was like, it would have been a good match though.
Yeah,
but for first round, I'd just be like, oh, come on.
Listen, this is Masters level, man. This is what happens at Masters.
True. So, but yeah, I was looking forward, but not looking forward to that match at the same time.
I hear you. Yeah. Hurkacz is, he's in pretty good form or hot form at the moment.
Yeah, he is. He's good. I like him. He's good.
Yeah, I know. I like him too. Good vibes. Mm-hmm. Songa's in, wild card, which is great. Mm-hmm. So he'll play Marin Cilic. That's a definitely like throwback match.
Yeah, 100%. And their matches against each other are always good as well.
So hopefully it's a good one. Forward. Exactly. Yeah. And then, like I said, you've got Felix in there. He gets a bye into the second round, being the sixth seed. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we'll take on the winner of Lorenzo Musetti and the Benoit Paire, which is, that should be an entertaining one.
Mm-hmm.
Paire might beat Musetti, you know. But I wouldn't be surprised. If it's problematic, if you just fuck around and stay focused with us,
I don't know. Musetti's pretty good, although
he's talented.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
But yeah, that'd be a nice match to watch. Mikko Jimmä, he was in the qualifying draw. He lost, unfortunately, in the first round of Poly, so we won't be seeing Mikko Jimmä.
Okay.
But yeah, that wraps up the show, Lucy. So,
but wait, hold on. You forgot to mention who's back.
Who's back?
No backs.
Oh, God.
I mean, come on. It's a big thing. Like,
you know what? Like, I've not really, fair play.
See, look how you forgot, because it's forgettable.
No, don't say that.
I'm joking.
That's the number one.
It is. Look how now he's starting to play and he's quiet. He's not making noise. He learned his lesson from the open. He's silent. I even forgot that he. See, you even forgot that he was going to
play. No, you know what?
He completely
point.
Forgot.
Because
he
point.
Came back like literally all silent, like the G in lasagna, mate. He didn't say anything.
Is this going to be his first event?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's
I know.
My bad.
And the craziest thing, we might get him playing against Carlos in the quarterfinals if they make it through.
I did see that. Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that because a lot of people keep saying that Carlos and Nadal are the same. But bro, that is Novak's son right there.
Mm.
So you see that Spider-Man meme? that's literally, if they play against each other, that's going to be literally Novak and Carlos. Like, they are extremely similar from the serves, the way they move on the court. I don't see Nadal as much. But obviously, we know why they say it. One of the reasons why. And plus, Carlos did say he's a huge fan of Fingy, but he's not even realizing, like, bro, those moves that you're doing, that is not Nadal. That is Novak right there. So looking forward to that. But we'll see how it is.
How do you think Novak would do as well in terms of, like, just...
Good point.
Because I can't see him doing well. Like, but then again, it's Novak Djokovic. Like,
this is what I'm saying. I actually think he's going to do pretty well. Maybe he might not win. But okay. I think he might actually... won't be surprised if he makes it far.
Latter stages. Fair play.
Like, as much as he has not played, he has a lot of frustration on him right now. He's like, I need to put everybody back in their place to remember who the fuck like I am. But then again, I don't know how he's been feeling since the whole craziness. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not doubting him.
I'm not
doubting him. I don't think he's going to go far in French Open, though. A lot of people think he is. I don't think he's going to go far in French Open.
Because there'll be Madrid before the French, and I think Madrid before the... as well.
Yeah, but I think for his first slam with everything, I think he's gonna bag. He has more chances of bagging Wimbledon than French Open.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Personally, I think this French Open for men, we might get a new winner. I don't even think Nadal's actually gonna push it through.
Fascinating. Well, we'll definitely get to that.
Yeah, we will. But that's what episode. You know.
But no, I appreciate you, Lucy. You made it. You pushed through.
I pushed through. Oh my gosh.
Much appreciated. So yeah, guys, we thank you all for listening again and tuning in. And yeah.
Join the discussion, guys, by the way. If you have like any opinions, like, you know, hashtag Blaspheme Global, talk to us, at us, mention us, blah, blah, blah. I know some of you actually been listening and been adding us, which has really been great.
Yeah, love it.
Subscribe, tell your friends to subscribe, get everybody in tennis. And yeah, man, thank you guys for the support. It's been dope.
Indeed. And yeah, long may that continue. And like Lucy said, we appreciate it like every time. So just please continue to do that. And yeah, enjoy the tennis. Until we meet again. So yeah, take care, guys.